but I was too edgy. My feet tapped restlessly beneath the table.
Gianna.
I looked toward Lei's office and found her leaning against the door jamb. She was dressed in crimson pants and a white silk shell, her black hair pulled back in a simple ponytail. She looked younger than her years, and delicate, but her dark eyes gave her away. Lei could be as delicate as a saber-toothed tiger.
"How's Chad?"
she asked. Standing, I put my hands on the desk to anchor myself. "He's very happy with the Mondango and the plans and the progress. He's happy with the choices of David and Inez, too. But he's not so happy with me."
"Oh?"
Her eyes widened.
"What happened?"
"Jackson Rutledge. More precisely, the fact that Jax has asked me to move in with him."
"I see."
She straightened.
"Why don't we talk in my office?"
I followed her, feeling a bit like I was being called into the teacher's office for a lecture. Beyond the floor-to-ceiling windows of Lei's expansive office, Manhattan was laid out for viewing pleasure and awe. Glittering spires with architecture designed to impress overshadowed buildings that were centuries old. Wooden water towers on matchstick stilts were everywhere, features of the cityscape as distinctive and beloved as any other landmark. Blue rooftop pools and green terrace gardens marked the apartments of the wealthy. Giant cranes reminded you that the city, already teeming with life, was still growing. The metal and glass jungle was a gourmand's paradise. New York was known for its fantastic food and its great chefs, and Lei was a driving force in the world I loved so much. It was a hard blow, feeling as though I was disappointing her.
"A week ago,"
she began,
"you hadn't heard from the man in 2 years.
Lei, I'll be honest. I've heard enough from everyone, including myself. I've never felt more pressure to stay away from something in my life. If only people were so helpful when I'm on a diet." She leaned against the front of her desk, her hands gripping the edge. She didn't crack a smile at my poor attempt at humor.
"Well, I moved in with Ian over time. It wasn't planned. I just spent more and more nights with him until it seemed ridiculous to keep paying rent on my own place."
Lei paused, as if she was thinking of how best to say something I might not want to hear. Then she came right out with it.
"Just be smarter about it than I was. Have some sort of legal agreement between you two, so you're not fighting over petty crap when your heart is breaking."
My hands clenched. "You're so sure it's going to end badly."
"I shouldn't have to point out to you that it took 10 years for Ian to backstab me. It took Jackson less than a week to pull a similar move on you. Come on, Gianna, you're not naive."
"I learn from my mistakes," I said, wishing my voice didn't sound so defensive.
"I'm not saying you shouldn't take the risk. Taking risks is what gets you the greater rewards. I'm just telling you to mitigate those risks. You're talking about a merger here, but you're not considering the most basic of precautions?"
Suddenly, I felt very foolish. Lei saw that and gentled her voice.
"Jackson has already cost you the Mondego project. Don't let him take anything else from you."
The rest of my day went on as usual, but I was miserable the whole time. I was seriously torn between saying goodbye to Jax and saying goodbye to the life I'd built without him in it. The easiest thing was to forget he'd come back at all. But after wishing for something for so long, it was excruciating to let it go now that it was in my grasp. Shortly before 3, my phone rang, and I answered it with as much enthusiasm as I could muster.
"Gianna,"
Chad greeted me, sounding a bit breathless.
"Can I talk to Lei?"
My eyes closed, knowing he was going to ask to work with someone else. I'd been hoping the delay between his return to New York and his call meant he'd changed his mind, or at least decided to wait it out a bit more before pulling the trigger. "Let me see if she's free. Hang on." I got up and walked to the open door of her office. She was working on her computer, her brows drawn together in a frown above her crimson glasses. I knocked lightly. She looked up at me.
"Yes?"
Chad Williams is on the line for you.
She pulled her glasses off and nodded. Put him through.
I went back to my desk and routed the call, then tried to focus on something else besides the low murmur of Lay's voice. It was all too easy to think about Jax instead, remembering the way he'd sounded when he last told me he loved me. He'd consumed me from the moment I first laid eyes on him. I didn't know how to give him up. I also didn't know how to live with him. He wasn't going to integrate into my life easily. I was going to have to change everything to accommodate him. Why couldn't I have fallen in love with someone simple and easygoing, someone who brought a little fun into my life instead of a whole slew of problems?
Gianna?
I looked up as Lay stepped out of her office, her lips pursed thoughtfully. Yes? I steeled myself for the blow. When would I ever have the chance again to spearhead a project that had the magnitude of the Mondego deal?
Chad just got through with a meeting with Jackson Rutledge, she said.
My back stiffened and my stomach roiled. Crap! Was Jack screwing me over again? Why?
Jackson offered to make a $3 million investment in Chad for a 30% share.
My mouth fell open. What? What did that mean? Was he trying to steal Chad? How could he, when Chad was under contract with Lay?
Lay frowned. Basically, Jackson is offering to guarantee that he's not going to sabotage Chad to the tune of a few $1 million.
I stared at her, trying to process that news.
She shrugged. Chad's going to have his lawyers look over the paperwork, but he's sending it to me, too. Wants to make sure there's no conflict.
Nodding slowly, I glanced at my drawer, thinking about the smartphone sitting inside it.
He didn't say anything about wanting to work with anyone else. She added, there's no reason to, if the offer is legit.
Right. I said the word, but I was still trying to fully grasp the ramifications of what Jax had done.
I take it you told Jax about Chad's concerns?
Pushing slowly to my feet, I nodded. I didn't know anything about this, though, I swear.
I can see that on your face.
She studied me for a moment longer.
Looks like Jackson's clearing a path to you.
Yeah. It was crazy. What was the catch? It was just depressing having to ask myself that question. How could I love him more than anything when I was constantly second-guessing him? My desk phone rang, and I answered, grateful for the distraction from Lay's examining gaze.
Gia.
Jax's voice sent me skidding into deeper turmoil.
We're going to sit down with your family tonight after the restaurant closes. I've got a lot of work to do, so I'll meet you there. A driver will be waiting for you after work, and he'll stay with you until it's time to take you to the restaurant. He'll take care of loading up the things you'll bring to the penthouse to get you through till the weekend, when we can grab the rest. Let me...
Jax! Jesus, will you slow down? I slumped in my chair, feeling exhausted. He was quiet for the length of a heartbeat.
It's taken 2 long years to get here.
Yeah, 2 years of nothing. Not a single word from you. And now all of a sudden you're bulldozing your way through my life and I'm feeling wrecked. Wiped out. I can't think, can't figure out anything.
What's to figure out?
He shot back, sounding annoyed, which only irritated me further. I sat up, but lowered my voice, hating to have such a personal conversation at work, but unable to hold back. I'd been simmering for hours and was finally boiling over. What took you so damned long? Why now? Why are you fighting for me now?
Because you were finally fighting for me,
he snapped.
You were happy with the way things were in Vegas. You wanted that to go on, probably thought we'd do that for a year or two, see where things went. And that wasn't going to happen, Gia. We were living on borrowed time. Too much longer and someone would have caught on and started hounding and exploiting you while I was thousands of miles away. I let us go on too long as it was.
You could have talked to me about it.
What were you going to do? Leave UNLV? Move to Virginia with me? Were you ready for that then, when you're not now? I don't fucking think so.
You never gave me the chance.
Bullshit. You've had plenty of chances, Gia. I waited for you to decide what we had was worth fighting for. Not a day went by when I didn't hope you'd call or just show up. You never even left me an angry voicemail. You called a few times, sent a few emails, then nothing. You gave up.
So it was some kind of test? I snapped, incensed. You broke my heart to test me?
Maybe. And don't think it doesn't piss me off that I had to come back to you to get you to finally say you wanted more.
You're an asshole.
You're goddamned right I am. I never claimed otherwise.
My eyes stung with hot tears. And that was the last straw for me. I was at work. I wasn't going to break down at my desk, not when anyone could just walk by and see me crying. I have to go. I hung up. Lei had gone back into her office at some point, thank God. I stood for a minute, shaking with anger and hurting. I couldn't believe Jax was blaming me for the time we'd been apart. Closing my eyes, I took deep breaths and forcibly put it all away. I locked up every emotion I felt and focused on the job at hand. "Fuck you, Jax," I whispered as I lowered into my chair. Then I buried myself in work. A black Mercedes waited for me at the curb after work. I knew it on sight because the driver who waited beside it had that coiled, dangerous look to him, despite the crispness of his black suit. His bearing screamed personal security, and his eyes locked on me so fiercely, I felt it, even through his mirrored shades. Had Jax deliberately picked someone who'd intimidate me? Another scare tactic? Another test? I'd been seeing a lot of new sides to Jackson Rutledge lately. Had I been in love with a mirage this whole time? The driver gave a brisk nodding greeting and opened the back door. I slid inside and melted into the butter-soft leather seat. Closing my eyes, I longed for home. I wanted to sprawl across my bed and call my friend Lynn in Vegas. She'd been there when I'd first met Jax, and through the weeks that followed. If anyone could help me put things into perspective, it was her. The engine rumbled to life and the car pulled away from the curb. Knowing we were facing a slow drive due to rush hour traffic in Manhattan, I went over the past several days in my head, gathering my thoughts so I would be at least partially coherent when I talked to Lynn. I didn't get far before I realized we were descending into an underground parking lot. Opening my eyes and sitting up, I recognized Jax's apartment complex. "I thought I was going home," I said to the driver.
"I was told to bring you here."
I almost argued, but I knew it wasn't the guy's fault. Jax was the one getting on my nerves. And if he wasn't smart enough to let me settle down some before seeing him, he'd get what was coming to him. One of the valets opened the door for me, and I climbed out. The driver led me to the elevator, punched in the penthouse code, then left me to take the ride up myself. The elevator door slid open on the penthouse floor, revealing Jax waiting for me in the private foyer. The sight of him hit me hard. He'd shucked his suit jacket at some point and unbuttoned his vest. His tie was loosened and the top button of his dress shirt was undone, exposing the golden column of his throat. He'd rolled up his sleeves, displaying powerful, veined forearms. He was dressed like a businessman, yet exuded the potent virility of a man in his prime. Lust shimmered on the edges of my anger and frustration.
"Put your palm on the pad," he ordered, jerking his chin toward the security panel beside his front door.
Clenching my teeth, I walked past him, my heels clicking across the marble. I slammed my hand against the glass and it beeped three times.
"Gianna Rossi, recognized and saved," a computerized female voice said as the front door swung open.
I stalked into his apartment, tense and ready to fight. I heard him shut the door behind me. I waited for him to say something, but he just passed me, his stride confident and sexy as hell. He carried himself like a man who liked to fuck and knew he did it well. That subtle sexual arrogance had always turned me on. Mad as I was, I still wasn't immune. stopping at the metal and glass console in front of the wall of windows, he poured amber liquid from a crystal decanter into his squat tumbler. He took a drink, his back to me. The silence stretched, waiting the room. I dropped my purse onto one of the black leather armchairs and crossed my arms, studying him, waiting for him. Still, he stood there as if he was in the room alone. Finally, I said, I thought you had to work late.
I need to,
he said evenly.
Then why are we here?
He exhaled harshly.
What was it you said in Atlanta? Something about what we've got is worth dealing with all this crap?
Don't act like I've got any say or control over what's going on here. I crossed my arms. You're running your own show, and I'm just getting dragged along for the ride. Jax faced me then.
I fix problems, Gia. You know that.
It's not just that. It's not just about Chad and my family. It's always been this way with us. You say when and how and where and how long. I have no input, no control. His face tightened. He took a step toward me.
Is that what you think? Christ, Gia, you've got me by the balls.
If that's true, that's not what I want. I want us to be a team, Jax. I don't want either of us to feel like we're at the mercy of the other. He set his glass down on the coffee table as he passed it on his way toward me.
I'm completely at your mercy,
he said softly, his eyes so dark they appeared black.
All day I've been feeling like every step I take to get closer to you is only pushing you back. I can feel you pulling away from me, wanting distance. I can't stand it.
And I felt like I'm dealing with a stranger. I don't know who you are when you're like this. I can't help wondering if I ever really knew you. And if I didn't, who the hell am I in love with?
Baby.
He cupped my face in his hands and lowered his lips to mine. He brushed his mouth across mine from one side to the other. Once, twice. Then his tongue licked across the seam, his breath warm and moist, his taste flavored by the liquor he'd been drinking. I moaned and tilted my head, trying to deepen the kiss. One of his hands slid around to cup my nape, while the other moved downward to cup my hip. His touch was hot, sending goosebumps racing across my skin. He squeezed gently, and my breasts swelled, growing heavy and tender. Inhaling deeply, I breathed him in, felt my body stir in response, recognizing Jax as the one thing it desperately wanted and couldn't resist. I reached up and pushed my fingers into the thick silk of his dark hair, drawing him closer.
You know me, Gia,
he whispered against my lips.
You love me.
Jax, I pressed against him, leaning into all that hard, flexing muscle. Have we made too many mistakes?
Probably.
His mouth moved along my jaw and down my throat, suckling softly.
But there's something we've always gotten right.
His arm wrapped around my waist and he rolled his hips, grinding the rigid length of his erection against my belly. My sex clenched, hungry for him. We can't stay in bed all the time, I pointed out, remembering the weekends in Vegas when we'd scarcely untangled ourselves from each other. Jack scooped me up, cradling me as if I weighed nothing.
2 years apart, and we're still in love. It's got to be easier when we're together.
It's not working that way so far. Still, I kicked my shoes off. He headed toward his bedroom.
Which is why I'm moving on to the part where I remind you why it's all worth it.
5. An hour before, I would have said the chances of Jax getting laid were non-existent. Right at that moment, however, with his gorgeous face taut with lust and his eyes soft with something far more tender, I wanted nothing more than to forget everything but the way he could make me feel. I wanted him to remind me of what we'd once had, what I'd clung so tightly to, what I hoped to have again. He placed me on the bed and came over to me, putting one knee on the comforter. He brushed a loose tendril of hair off my cheek. Then his gaze drifted downward to where his other hand was gliding up my thigh and beneath the hem of my skirt. "I want you naked," I told him. His mouth, that wickedly sexy mouth that could drive me insane, curved in a smug smile.
"Do you now?"
I stretched, knowing it would entice him. When he growled low in his throat, I returned a smug smile of my own. Catching me behind the knee, he pushed my leg up and to the side, riding my skirt up and exposing my garters and matching panties. He licked his lips.
"Baby, I'm going to love watching you get ready for work every morning."
It struck me then that we would be sharing everyday moments like that moving forward. And I wanted them. I wanted the man I'd had so briefly.
"You've still got too many clothes on."
Jack straightened and shrugged out of his vest, letting it drop to the floor. He yanked at the knot of his tie, then pulled the loosened silk down one side to fall to the carpet as well. When he went to work on the buttons of his shirt, I pushed up onto my elbows to watch. A low hum of pleasure escaped me. Jack paused, his brow lifting. There was a gleam in his eye that made my legs shift restlessly. The man knew he was hot as hell, knew how much I liked looking at him.
"Don't stop," I told him.
"I love it when you look at me like that."
He freed another button. I caught my lower lip between my teeth. He'd always been fit and leanly muscular, but he was harder now, more defined. Golden skin stretched over ridges and slabs of muscle. I wanted to run my fingertips over every inch of it, lick him like a favorite dessert, make him feel how much I loved him. He shrugged off the shirt and I moved, rising up onto my knees to reach for him. He groaned when my hand smoothed over his shoulders, then down his biceps, squeezing and caressing.
"How is it possible?" I wondered aloud. "You're more delicious than you were before, and you were a god back then."
"Baby."
He sealed his mouth over mine and stole my breath, his tongue licking and gliding. Greedy, my hands ran all over his chest and abs, tracing every plane and groove.
"You're so hard," I breathed, wanting to feel all that warm, silk-covered marble pressed against me.
"The sexual frustration workout."
He caught me by the wrist and pressed my hand against his straining erection, grinding into my palm.
"Pushing my body to exhaustion because I couldn't have you, and the wet dreams were killing me."
I cupped him, stroking from root to tip. "Not always frustrated," I muttered, thinking of the women who'd had him, the women who'd had what was mine, at least on two occasions. Fisting my ponytail, he pulled my head back to look up at him.
"Always,"
he said fiercely.
"You've ruined me for other women, Gia."
"Good." I kissed his shoulder. "You're still dressed."
"You finish it."
He tugged the band out of my hair, his fingers sifting through it. My eyelids grew heavy, my senses drugged by the sexual hunger radiating off Jack's. The feel of his fingertips kneading my scalp sent bliss radiating through me. Every word he spoke, every move he made, was designed to seduce me. And it was working. I fumbled with the hidden closure of his tailored slacks, pushing the halves aside to discover black boxer briefs. His cock was so hard and ready, the wide crown peeking above the waistband. Shiny with pre-cum, it beckoned me, inciting me to push the underwear down below his hips. A soft, needy sound filled the air between us. Jack's was gorgeous. Everywhere. Gorgeous, big and hard. Standing there with his slacks undone, his cock shamelessly exposed and mouth-wateringly erect, his body ripped and powerful. He was the most erotic thing I'd ever seen. I wanted him inside me.
He lowered the zipper of my skirt, then went to work on the buttons of my blouse. All the while, his lips were at my throat, his tongue gliding along my fluttering pulse.
"I'm going to lick you up,"
he promised, his words a whisper of air against my damp skin. I wrapped my hands around him, finding him hot and wet. He was so aroused, he was dribbling pre-cum in a steady stream. His virility was a potent aphrodisiac, making me as hot and wet as he was. My sex was slick with wanting, tightening hungrily, aching to be filled with the thick shaft I was stroking so lovingly. Lifting my fingers to my mouth, I tasted him, feeling as if I became intoxicated by his rich, heady flavor. He watched me, cursing softly. His hands tightened onto the silk of my blouse, and buttons popped off and rolled onto the floor.
"I wanted you naked,"
he muttered, grabbing me by the waist and flipping me around, folding me face down over the edge of the bed.
"Next time."
Shoving my loosened skirt up my hips, he exposed my ass. He cupped the back of my knee in his hand and pushed my leg up onto the bed, opening me. Then his hands were on the twin curves of my buttocks, squeezing them. His breath gusted hot and quick over my sensitive skin, his teeth scraping and gently biting.
"God, you were made for fucking,"
he said gruffly.
"You were built just to drive me out of my mind."
One finger slid beneath the lace of my thong, running below it from the small of my back to the damp flesh between my legs. His knuckle brushed against my sex, and I quivered, gasping as a tremor shook my core. The lace snapped in his grip, and I jolted, shocked by the sharp, quick tug against my skin and the harsh sound of the material rending. He blanketed me, his feverishly hot body covering my back, his hands pushing beneath me to cup my swollen breasts. His cock lay hot and thick between the cheeks of my ass, and he thrust, pushing the steely length between them. The sensation of being overpowered, helpless, had me primed to come. A man so ragingly aroused he was tearing my clothes off had me spread for the taking. Jax's desire was dizzying and irresistible. As much as I loved his body, he loved mine. Maybe more, which seemed impossible, but he always managed to make me feel that way. "Don't wait," I begged, my hips rocking back against him.
"What do you want, baby?"
he crooned, massaging the tight points of my nipples with clever fingers.
"Tell me what you need."
I was panting, writhing, teased by the feeling of his heavy sack resting against the wet lips of my sex. "Fuck me, Jax. Fuck me hard." He nuzzled against my temple.
"You want this?"
With a shift of his hips, the broad head of his cock was notched into the clenching opening of my body. Pressure built as the crown pushed inside me, spreading me for the penetration of the hard shaft to follow. I moaned and squeezed my eyes shut, trembling. He was everywhere, in every breath I sucked in, over every inch of my skin.
"Tight, baby,"
he ground out between clenched teeth, withdrawing and pushing deeper. Slow, easy thrusts that worked him into me with every lunge. He groaned and gripped my desperately circling hips, holding me down as he fucked his way deeper.
"Tight and creamy. Jesus, you feel amazing. I'm going to come so hard for you. I'm going to fill you up with it."
My fingers clawed into the comforter. My eyes opened blindly, my lips parted to suck air into burning lungs. I fought against his hold, wanting him harder, faster. I caught movement in the corner of my eye and saw us reflected in the dressing mirror affixed to the inside of his walk-in closet door. The clutch of my body tightened, trying to pull him into where I needed him. Jax's head turned to follow my gaze, and he stilled, taking in the sight of him hunched over me, his slacks barely clinging to his upper thighs. It was a lewd and decadent picture. Me, pinned and still fully clothed, my sex opened and penetrated by his massive cock, And Jax, firm buttocks tight with the force of a thrust, his biceps thick and flexing from the kneading of my breasts, his back glistening with a fine sheen of perspiration, his mouth curved wickedly.
You like watching me fuck you.
To prove it, he withdrew and thrust again, his entire body tightening as he sank farther into me. I whimpered. My sack sucked greedily at his cock, my nipples tightened painfully against his palms.
Oh yeah, you do.
He crooned in a darkly seductive voice.
I'm going to mirror the ceiling, Gia, baby. You're going to watch me worship this sexy body of yours every day and night. You'll never forget why you're putting up with the world outside our bed. It's going to be seared into your brain. Every time you close your eyes, you'll see me riding you until you can't come anymore.
I climaxed. I couldn't stop it. I cried out as the tension finally broke, pleasure arching my spine into a tight bow against his chest. Jax growled and lost control, fucking me hard and fast, surging deep and erupting with a vicious curse. His teeth sank into my shoulder. He came inside me, chasing my orgasm with ragged groans, his body shaking violently with the force of his ejaculations. It was too much. I couldn't see, couldn't think. My nails raked across the comforter, instinctively trying to pull me away from the flood of sensation, away from the spurting cock still plunging inside me, making me take more, feel more, when I couldn't possibly withstand it. Jax kept me with him, trapped and possessed, a willing prisoner to the endless need between us. Jax undressed me, washed his semen away with a warm washcloth, and arranged me on the bed. I was limp and breathless the whole time, and slightly irritated that he could move and think while I was a brainless mess of post-orgasmic endorphins. "You suck," I told him when he finally sprawled on the bed beside me, gloriously naked. He propped his head in his hand and grinned, his fingers running lightly down my cleavage to circle my navel.
Guess you missed the 10 minutes it took me to be able to stand up.
I'm taking you down for the count next time, I grumbled. Leaning over me, he pressed his lips to mine.
I'm just happy there's a next time. Lots of next times. You've got 2 years to make up for.
My eyes narrowed. I'm not taking the blame. You walked. Whether or not I followed, you're the one who bailed.
So, I have 2 years to make up for.
He slid over me, kneeing my thighs open and settling between them.
I better get started.
Reaching up, I brushed his hair back from his forehead. He was even more breathtaking after sex, his face softened and seemingly younger, his eyes bright and his smile boyishly charming. He looked happy, and it twisted my heart to think I'd made him that way without even really trying. Turning his head, he pressed his lips to my palm.
I love you.
Jax. My eyes stung. I used to dream about you saying that to me.
I told you a lot,
he confessed.
While you were sleeping.
That hurt worse than thinking he'd never felt that way about me at all. Will I ever understand why you put us through hell? The light in his eyes dimmed. His smile faded.
I'm afraid you will.
Tension gripped his big frame, and I regretted bringing it up. I wrapped my legs around his hips, hugging him close.
Let's agree not to bring anything but us into our bed,
he murmured, running his nose along my cheek.
I want us to have some place where it's just you and me, a place where we can remember why nothing else really matters but what we've got.
I nodded, my hands stroking up and down his back. Burying my face in his throat, I breathed him in, letting the familiar and beloved scent of his skin ground me in the moment. I'm game for that, but I'll warn you right now that if you don't start including me, we won't make it as far as this bed to begin with. His mouth curved against my skin.
You drive a hard bargain, Miss Rossi.
You're damn right. His back tightened beneath my hands. He started pushing inside me with a serrated groan.
In all fairness,
he said gutturally,
I can too.
Drowning in one of Jax's robes, I sipped a glass of wine and watched him slice cold cuts and cheese. His massive Sub-Zero refrigerator was bachelor barren. You ever live with a woman before? I asked him.
No.
I nodded, admiring him in loose-fitting pajama pants. Aren't you worried it'll feel like an invasion of your privacy? He glanced at me, his dark eyes piercing from beneath the locks of his disheveled hair.
No.
This place is pretty sterile. You don't think it might drive you a little nuts to see my shoes kicked off here and there, or my purse on the chair, or...
Your panties on the rug because I yanked them off to fuck you?
He straightened.
No, I'm not going to mind. You having second thoughts?
I took another sip of the crisp Riesling before answering. I'm just worried that you're thinking about me so much that you're not thinking about how this is going to affect you. He set the knife down and picked up his own glass. Dangerously casual with those assessing eyes.
What are you afraid of, Gia?
I thought about the best way to say what was on my mind. I know you're worried about what we're going to deal with outside this apartment. But I'm more sketchy about what's going to happen right here. It's all fun and games until you start feeling irritated by the day-to-day reality of living with someone. Jax leaned back against the counter, crossing his ankles and wrapping one arm around his chest. Holding his wine glass aloft, he looked relaxed and at ease, which wasn't the case at all. He'd honed in on me, stripping me bare with that jaded gaze.
Like the way you splash water everywhere when you're washing your face?
He drawled.
How you leave dishes in the sink because you're still pulling clean ones out of the dishwasher one at a time as you use them? How you've got phone charger cords stuck into outlets in every room so you don't have to go far to plug the damn thing in? How I'm going to be tripping over those shoes you kick off all over the place?
I blinked. Yeah?
Just because I like staring at your ass, babe, doesn't mean I wasn't paying attention to the rest of you while we were together in Vegas.
His mouth curved.
That said, if you are really worried about pissing me off, we can establish terms for what you'll do for me when it happens.
Rolling my eyes, I muttered, "You're such a guy."
You're just now noticing that? Gia, your observation skills need some work.
I had to fight to keep from smiling. Are we going to eat or what?
Are you going to quit worrying?
After a while, I hope so. I ran my fingers up and down the stem of my glass. We've been together 6 weeks total over the course of our relationship. You wouldn't be asking me to move in under normal circumstances. It's too soon. You can tell me that it's not a big deal to you and you're ready, but I'm going to have to see it to believe it.
Fair enough.
He straightened.
Maybe under normal circumstances, we would have bounced back and forth between each other's places for a few months, keeping up the pretense that we weren't rushing things along, but we never would have spent a night apart. We don't have that much self-control.
Maybe, I conceded. But you're not a guy who likes having his hand forced.
I had options.
Setting his glass on the counter, he rounded the breakfast bar, approaching me with a slow, deliberate pace that made my toes curl.
I could have walked. I could have beefed up the security of your loft, or put you up someplace, or just let you fend for yourself.
He stopped in front of me, tugging the belt of my robe loose and exposing me. He licked his lips, his eyelids becoming weighted with arousal. He set his hands over my knees, pushing my thighs apart. Cool air caressed my sex as his thumbs slid along the inside of my thighs.
I could have taken your offer to be the guy you call when you get lonely for this.
I wrapped my legs around his hips and lured him closer. Maybe I wouldn't have called.
Would you be that cruel?
Jax untied the drawstring of his pants and freed his heavy cock. Fisting it, he primed himself for me. I was riveted, entranced by the sight of his large hand stroking his thickly veined erection. I would have held off as long as I could.
I would have sexted you, called you, hounded you. No way I'd suffer alone.
His lips brushed across my forehead and he breathed.
Can you take me again?
You really are making up for lost time, aren't you?
I can't help what you do to me.
He ran the wide crown through the lips of my sex, nudging my clit.
The minute you showed up at that bar in Vegas, I was a dead man walking.
My hands curled around the seat of the bar stool. Liar, you were trolling. Half a dozen guys painting the town for a bachelor party. You were out to get laid no matter what.
I was,
he concurred, grinning.
So were you.
Picked up the hottest guy in the bar, I said breathlessly, squirming as he teased me with languid strokes of the velvety head of his erection.
I scored the hottest girl ever.
His tongue licked across my parted lips in a blatantly erotic tease.
You had me so worked up. Embarrassing as hell to be sporting a major hard-on for hours.
It was impossible to miss, I smiled, remembering the rush. You're so big.
You want it?
I nodded. Wanted it then, too. Took you home with me, didn't I? Figured I was too easy, but I couldn't resist you. Jax notched himself into my wet cleft with a low groan.
I would have chased after you for days, if that's what it took. I couldn't imagine not having you.
Tightening my legs, I pulled him closer, shivering as he slid inexorably into me. I moaned his name, awed by the vulnerability I felt every time he took me.
Gia. Baby.
He cupped my nape with one hand and gripped my hip with the other, holding me steady as he rolled his hips, urging slick tissues to let him sink deeper.
Feel that. I'm pushing into you, but it feels like you're sliding into me. Every fucking time, it's like you're slipping under my skin.
I want to. My nails dug into his back, my fingers flexing. I want to own you, Jackson.
Witch.
He bit out between clenched teeth, his jaw tight.
I thought I was going to take you to bed. Bang the hell out of your insanely sexy body until sunrise, then head home with a smile. But you chewed me up and wrung me out. I couldn't have crawled out of your bed if I'd wanted to, and would have begged to stay if you'd tried to kick me out.
Ha! Tells me what a player you are! I gasped as he filled me too full, a wild joy spreading through me. I had no clue. You had me thinking you regularly meddled in marathon fucking. His gaze was soft on my flushed face.
I was a starving man, baby, living on junk food and scraps, and you were my first real home-cooked meal. I needed you, Gia, and I haven't stopped.
I need you, too. So much. Too much. Just being in the same room with him made me feel alive. Cupping my ass, he lifted me and carried me to the couch. He spread me out, never leaving me, rising above me like a golden god.
Don't forget that, he said hoarsely.
Shaking fingertips brushed my hair away from my forehead.
When things get rough, don't forget I need you.
I saw the worry in his eyes, the worry he told me not to feel, and my heart twisted in my chest. Then he started moving inside me, riding me with strong, smooth thrusts, and I let him sweep me away.
6.
There's something wrong with your view, man, Nico said as he set a box of my stuff onto the breakfast bar and headed toward the windows. Too much sky, and you can't spy on your neighbors.
I've got all the view I need right here.
Jack shot back, catching me around the waist as I entered his apartment. Our apartment, behind my brother.
Gag,
Vincent muttered, walking through the open front door, carrying my suitcase and a duffel bag.
Where do you want this?
You can just put it down, I told him, squirming as Jack's nibbled at my neck. It was a gorgeous Saturday afternoon, perfect for being out in the city. Moving didn't qualify, but I wasn't complaining. And neither was my family, which I considered a minor miracle. Jackson Rutledge could sell sand in a desert. He never once said we were heading to a lifetime commitment, yet he'd managed to convey an earnest and passionate desire to be with me when we sat down with my family after Rossi's closed on Thursday night. I think we both understood that my family heard wedding bells, but he didn't seem pressured by that expectation. For my part, I was working hard not to get my hopes up. Lei had wished me well at work on Friday when I told her what was happening, but she'd been notably subdued. That was hard for me, because I'd come to seek and depend on her approval.
Looks like I arrived right on time.
I felt Jack stiffen at the sound of his father's voice. His hold on me loosened, and he straightened, freeing me to turn around and face Parker Rutledge.
I brought beer,
he said, holding up a 12-pack. His smile was wide, his face startling in its resemblance to his son's. He thrust his hand out to Vincent and introduced himself, then glanced at me.
There she is, the woman who's got my son smiling nonstop lately. It's good to see you again, Gianna.
Hello, Mr. Rutledge.
Parker, please.
He ripped open the top of the 12-pack and handed a beer to Vincent, then stepped down into the living room to shake hands with Nico.
Saw the other Rossi downstairs in the lobby. Sounded like he was making a bet with the doorman.
I shot a look at Jax and saw his face had hardened into an inscrutable mask, his attention on his father, watching as Parker passed a beer to my older brother.
Let's plan for all of us to get together sometime this coming week,
Parker said, taking in everyone with a sweeping glance.
Your parents, too, of course, and my wife, Regina. The Rossies are as busy as we are, Jack said tightly. Possibly more so. I'm sure they are. American entrepreneurship at its finest.
Parker set the case of beer down on the coffee table and pulled out one for himself.
But surely we can work something out. Family is family, after all.
Nico's dark, thoughtful gaze met mine. He shrugged.
Sure. Why not?
Jax holed up in his home office after everyone left, leaving me to put my stuff away wherever I wanted. We didn't talk about it, but I was pretty sure he'd had different plans for our Saturday before his dad showed up. It tripped me out how Parker Rutledge blew into a room like a ray of sunshine, and his son turned instantly arctic. What was the story there? Why was it that every time his dad popped into our lives, it automatically put a wedge between us? I was unpacked within an hour, leaving me hanging around an unfamiliar place with nothing to do. I debated watching TV, then decided to surf online for movie show times and dinner reservations. I was damned if Parker was going to ruin my first weekend living with Jax. Dropping onto the couch, I propped my bare feet up on the coffee table and set my laptop on my knees. I'd scarcely typed in my password when Jax appeared. Hey, I greeted him. My smile faded when I saw the tightness around his eyes and mouth. Everything all right?
Sure. Why?
Your hair's a sexy mess. The dark locks were wild, as if he'd been shoving his hands into them to release inner tension, something I would have been happy to do for him. Giving me a sheepish look, Jax ran a hand over his hair to smooth it.
I was just thinking. You up for one of those mind-numbingly boring affairs I warned you about?
I'm up for anything that puts you in a tuxedo.
His mouth softened into a wry smile.
All right, then.
I snapped my laptop closed and set it on the coffee table. I'll need to go shopping, though. When is it?
Tonight.
My brows rose. You couldn't give me more warning?
I just found out about it.
He said grimly.
We can have a stylist come here with some choices for you.
Seriously? How important is this thing you're asking me to? He leaned into the wall in what might have seemed like a casual pose if he wasn't so edgy. I could almost see the agitation radiating from him.
I'm outing you as my girl. But before you get it into your head that I want you looking any particular way, let me tell you that I'd take you out just the way you are right now.
Pushing to my feet, I glanced down at my basic white-ribbed tank top and tan capris. Shut up!
Baby, that killer body of yours makes everything sexy.
He crossed his arms, settling in.
I just don't want you running all over town.
I can find something off the rack, unless you have a problem with that.
Takes all the fun out of it for me. We bring someone here, I get to watch you dress and undress. We hit the stores, they'll kick me out of the dressing rooms.
My lips twitched with a repressed smile. Pervert.
Guilty as charged.
You do this sort of thing often? I asked as casually as I could manage. It hadn't escaped me that most guys wouldn't have a stylist on call for their girlfriends.
Get kicked out of dressing rooms? Not as a rule, no.
I told myself to drop it. Well, that's a good thing. Anyway, I'll just head out for a couple hours, let you work.
And stew all afternoon over whether or not I play dress-up with all the chicks I fuck?
He asked, straightening. I don't want to talk about your sexual conquests. I grabbed my purse off the armchair and looked around for my flats.
You just want to be mad at me for stuff you're making up in your head.
I glared at him. Don't pick a fight with me just because you've got issues with your dad.
This has nothing to do with him.
Really? Because I get the impression damn near everything in your life has something to do with him.
Not you.
He said quietly. Dangerously. He closed the distance between us.
Stop changing the subject and spit it out, Gia.
It doesn't matter, Jax. I knew you were a player when I met you. I'll get over it.
I had my moments.
He agreed.
They never included giving a damn about how the women I nailed felt about anything, let alone the clothes they were wearing.
My chin lifted. Why are you always so quick to make yourself sound like a class A prick? He shrugged.
Just calling them like I see them.
No. You're trying to paint a picture of yourself that has nothing to do with reality. You can't keep telling me that I know you while insisting that you're really an asshole. I dropped my purse back down. It's like you're trying to convince you and me both that you're something you're not.
More like reminding us both of what I am.
He stopped in front of me.
What I've got inside me, just waiting to come out.
I think your dad reminds you of that.
You're fixated on my father.
Just calling him like I see him, I shot back. Jack stared down at me for a long minute, his body tense and the air between us strained.
What you're not seeing is that he and I have a lot more in common than just our faces.
So, let's talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
You just want to fight. He reached up and rubbed the back of his neck, his biceps stretching the sleeve of his t-shirt. He growled.
What I want is to fuck you bow-legged.
Jax! I laughed. I couldn't help it. His frustration was palpable, and his response to it was so typically male. You're lucky I grew up with three brothers, you know. I'm used to chest thumping.
And driving me insane.
You're doing that all by yourself, what with your self-confessed multiple personality disorder.
I touched a finger to my jaw.
Wait, I get it. You're a twin.
There's two of you.
Closing his eyes, he rubbed his temples with his fingers.
Jesus.
If I sleep with both of you, does that count as cheating?
His hands dropped and he looked at me.
Are you in love with both of them?
I reached out and touched his chest. I'm in love with you. With a sigh, Jax hugged me and pressed his lips to my shoulder.
Image is everything in politics. Sometimes I'm asked to help others with theirs. That's why I know a few stylists.
I pushed my hands up beneath his shirt to touch his bare skin. His soft shiver and low moan sent my heartbeat skipping. Good to know. I wanted to know more, but for the first time in our relationship, we had time to let things grow and develop. I gave myself the right to enjoy that. There were a handful of things in life that made me catch my breath and wonder. Jax in a tuxedo topped the list. I watched him cross the ballroom with a champagne flute in each hand, his stride fiercely elegant and unmistakably sexual. The DC hotel was filled with men and women who were political and financial signs.